didn't know, it's Dementia Action Week. All day today, we've been having a really honest and open conversation about something that one in two of us will be touched by in the UK, which is a massive statistic. Now, for Dementia Oxfordshire, which is a service provided by Age UK Oxfordshire, they want to make sure that nobody has to face dementia alone. And one way that they do this is by having a team of experts by experience, which are basically people who either live with or care for somebody with dementia. They can offer up their knowledge and experience and really make a difference to those who are going through their own journey. Now, if you've been touched by dementia, or maybe you've had somebody in your life who's been affected by dementia, please do get in touch and share your story with us. The more open we can be about this and have these conversations, then the better. And that's exactly what my next guests say that we should be doing. Melissa Spearman is a dementia advisor and created the Experts by Experience group and has been telling me more about all the work they do.
Way back in 2021, I started a social group for people with dementia, so not carers, not family members, just people living with dementia. And I was astounded that they all just wanted to talk about dementia and share their experiences with each other and share tips and advice. So that social group became my Experts by Experience group. And what I learn from them literally gets converted into education sessions that Dementia Oxfordshire runs throughout the county. There's almost a million people in the UK living with dementia. There's a lot of people. And most of those people will have very similar symptoms. But because we're all different as people, each of those people will, the way they feel about those symptoms and the way they react to them will be very different. So now our Experts by Experience group has 22 members, which is amazing. 12 of those are living with dementia and 10 of those are people that are supporting them. And all of those different people will have different experiences and will cope with and have different ways of overcoming the symptoms that they experience. So we get to learn from them.
I'm delighted to say that we're also joined in the studio by some of the Experts by Experience who can tell us a little bit more about their story and involvement in the group. So first of all, I'd like to introduce Glenn and Christine Fletcher. So thank you both for coming in. Really appreciate you you popping by.
You're welcome.
That's okay.
So Glenn, if we can start with you. What was it like when you received that diagnosis of dementia?
It was quite difficult, I think. The difficulty really is getting to people to understand what it is, because there are lots of sort of stereotypes of dementia. Some of them are basically, you know, the classic one of the mad woman locked in the cellar because she's got this strange dementia problem. And I think what I found helping with Melissa with this is that we need to tell people more about what dementia is really like. And I think there's a lot of that work's been done by Age UK on that recently, which is really, really encouraging. Because I think people often think it's something which isn't.
When you were told, what was the first thing that went through your mind, Glenn, when you were told that's what you had?
It's easy to forget that these are people as well as symptoms and so on. So I do try to, when I'm talking about dementia to people that I know, is to explain how I find it. And what I find is that most of us can probably manage the problems of dementia. The difficulty is if we're not helped with it. And I think one of the things that Age UK does is to support that. And Melissa mentions the Experts by Experience. Essentially, they feed into us, we feed into them too. So
yeah.
It does mean you have quite a sort of broad sense of things that people are doing.
Christine, do you remember, as Glenn's partner, how you took the news when he was diagnosed?
I took it very badly, actually. The dementia specialist said, Glenn, you've got dementia. And he turned to me and said, you're now his full-time carer. And we went into lockdown.
Which
made life really difficult because I assumed I was his carer because I was the one there all the time.
Yeah.
And Glenn joined Melissa's group. And I wouldn't go because I couldn't talk about it because I hadn't accepted it.
So you're in denial.
I was. And I was angry because why has he got this? And I've got to do all the caring and that, you know. And that's okay to feel like that, providing you eventually get over it. And after a couple of years or so, I did start going to Melissa's group. I think it was probably because Glenn had to stop driving and I had to take him. And I still couldn't talk about it. Every time I spoke, I burst into tears. Yeah. I mean, I still find it difficult, but I'm pleased to do it because it helps. But I found I likened caring for Glenn to doing a maths class. You learn your multiplication and your addings and your takings away. You think, oh, I've fixed that. You know, that's fine. I know that. Then they say, right, now do long division. And you think, what? And it's like that with dementia. You go along and then something happens. Like recently, Glenn has started saying, is it time to leave to go home now? And it took me a week before I actually asked Glenn why he thought he should go home. And he thought he was in somebody else's house and they were going to come and he was frightened that he was going to get in trouble.
Oh,
so now, when I know, it's all a learning curve.
Yeah.
And now I know how to deal with it. I say, it's all right, we own the house, we own everything in it, and we're allowed to, you know, we're safe, we're not, nobody's going to come, and we live here, this is where we live now. And that's okay, he accepts that.
So it's a case of kind of going with the motion of everything and learning how to deal with each thing.
And when, as a new thing, I mean, you know, he said to me yesterday, I think I'll retire. I said, yeah, I should do, because they ain't paying you anymore.
For some years, basically.
But when she says something like that to you, what are you thinking at that point? Do you remember? Does it help you to remember?
I don't think I ever forgot, if you see what I mean, but I think what it does do is reminds me that I had a different life, because you can feel that you've been left out, you know, because you used to be like this, you're not anymore. Yeah. So is anybody going to listen to you anymore?
I listen to you, darling.
Glenn's actually one of the original members of the Experts by Experience group. I don't think you can tell really that Glenn has dementia.
Not at all. No, you're absolutely right.
Glenn was diagnosed 6 years ago.
Wow.
He's doing amazingly. He has inspired so many people.
And Glenn still goes to the gym twice a week. He walks the dog 3 times a day.
Whether he wants
in the evenings, in the evening, he does it on his own. I don't have to go with him. He still comes back. I have got him tagged, but, you know, and I've got an air tag on the dog. But
it's a good idea. It's a good idea.
This is the thing you have to put in place, is things so you can follow the phone or whatever. You do have to do a little bit of planning for the future, but you don't have to look to the end game, you know. But you do have to, like, getting carers in now, before Glenn really needs them. It's company Glenn needs, really.
Well, also with us, Brian Bolton joins us. So Brian was diagnosed with dementia in 2023. Brian, I think there's a big misconception that if you live with dementia, then your life stops and you can't lead a busy social life. What has your experience been like on this?
It's how we get on with it. And accepting it will never go back. But by the nature of the disease, and accepting, right, there's some things I can't do now, but there's all the other stuff I can do, and it's a matter of getting on with it.
Double up on the things you can do.
That's right, very much so. And it's not surprising. And if you're open and upfront, most people are very helpful. It may be something simple physically. I've got some other comorbidities which also play into that people are very helpful. If you're up front, explain to them in not a dramatic way. And I've got 3 grandchildren that don't live very far away, Ray, from us. And they're very good, very open, fine, accept that. And ask a few questions and then just get on. They still fun up when they want to lift at 10 o'clock at night.
Of course they do.
And if mum and dad have gone to New York or something, can you pick me up? I do so until 12 o'clock. After that, they have to get a taxi. But
do you think awareness is better?
I think awareness, we're starting to get out the message. Mm-hmm. I think people of my age, I'm 82, there's still some reticence to be open about it. And some people still have problems of accepting it. Also enjoy life. I go to dementia clubs, thinking for the brain, twice a month, exercise every week with other people with dementia, and get involved with, you know, when having charity events and supporting charities and manning a stand with regard to dementia issues.
Now, Marianne was diagnosed with Alzheimer's just over a year ago, so I wanted to find out a little bit more about what it was like for her and her husband, Ian, after she got the diagnosis.
I made a
a slight plan when I had the diagnosis that we would talk through with the family, and they could ask and talk, and they could laugh and they can joke, whatever, whatever level it's open season, certainly, so to speak. But for people I knew less well, I made the decision that I was going to not say anything for a good year, maybe 2 years, but it's gone a year now, just over. And because I felt I wanted people to know that I am still the same person from the day I had a diagnosis, and I'm still that person.
You don't want it to define you.
Exactly.
Which is absolutely
That's exactly where I'm coming from. And to see the possibilities. I've had an early diagnosis, I believe. And so that I'm now able to benefit from the medication that we can have. There are not many things that can be done yet. But the medication has made a difference that I've known, and my family have noticed as well. And it just shows that, you know, it wasn't day one death sentence, which is how I think people feel about it. I don't want to know about it because that might mean that's the end of my life now.
Yeah, but it's not that at all.
Not at all.
And everyone in this room is proving that, to be quite honest, which is obviously a great thing. What impact has being part of the group, this group, had on your life, Marianne?
The support is the key thing. I'm feeling not alone. Mm. I think I would have to say that probably Ian has found greater support, because I think, coming back to the diagnosis, when I was diagnosed, I felt, well, okay, you know, I'm going to get on and find out what I need to find out and what I need to do. But I didn't have the prospect that my family and my husband had of whatever it is in the future. I know what's going on in my head and how I'm dealing with things. They don't know that. And they have got a future that, all intents and purposes, all the information that people seem to know about is the negative.
Marianne said it's not like a death sentence, but it can be. It can be. If you receive the diagnosis as a death sentence, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy then.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go downhill. But if you say, well, I'm going to make the most of this, the best of it, do everything I can, it's business as usual, really. You can carry on as normal.
I had a picture of having to go straight into the sort of group where they would only think that you could manage to play bingo and sing Vera Lynn. Well, you know, my playlists from Mozart to Metallica, you know, I've got a very wide range of interests and music and things like that. But we've seemed to have developed this generalized picture of what dementia looks like, and how you're sat there and you might be able to play some little games or something,
but it's not one size fits all.
Marianne loves bingo.
That's my thing. There will come a time when I can't do so much, but and my family have been really good at realizing that might be in the future, but what can we do to prepare all of us? So they've talked to me about what things are, you know, what music I like, what music I find calming, what might rile me, what things I like to eat and don't like to eat, and writing it all down, putting it together for the future, not as a panic, just a bit of the planning to make things for everyone a little bit more manageable.
If there's one thing I've picked up on today with all of you in here, is it is a very individual thing. Mm-hmm. Melissa, I'd like to ask you, if anyone's listening now and they're finding it hard to open up and talk about dementia, what would you say to them?
It's something I come across a lot. I've met hundreds of people living with dementia, and I would honestly say that probably about 95% of people don't talk about it in their family. They don't discuss it with the person with the diagnosis. And my advice is always wait, pick your moment, wait until the person with dementia says something like, I've changed, I'm not as I used to be, or my memory is dreadful, I keep forgetting things. At that point, most family members will say, it's fine, we all forget things. But actually, the person knows that they're forgetting things. They know that they're not thinking as clearly as they used to. So when they say something like that, that's the time that you say, yeah, I know. But we know that, and we're going to help you.
Don't write it off.
Don't write it off. How can we help you with that? You know?
How can anyone listening find out more about what you do to receive help or advice?
Probably the first place to go is our website. So Dementia Oxfordshire. You can search for Dementia Oxfordshire on the internet. And if you are living with dementia and you aren't known to our service, you can self-refer. You can call us and we will accept your referral. Probably the best place to start is the website, full of lots of information. There are five of us, five dementia advisors in the dementia education team. So I write the session, but there are five of us that go out into the community and educate people about dementia. And we think it's important to go out into different communities to bring people together who are living in the same area. Because people honestly don't realise that probably just a few doors away from you, there is somebody either living with dementia or supporting somebody with it. And it can be really isolating because there's so much stigma about dementia. We don't talk about it, you know?
Well, I would just like to say a big thank you to Melissa, Glenn and Christine, Brian, Marianne and Ian for joining us today. Thank you all so much. And thank you for speaking openly and honestly with us. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really lovely to meet all of them. And how eye-opening just to have that conversation. You know, it's not all doom and gloom.